Okay, so we've been doing this this series called The Story because stories are really, really important. We've been talking about that we live our lives by the stories that we believe in. Stories about finance and relationships, stories about romance, stories about parenting, stories about navigating career, stories about whether cliff jumping is a good idea or not, all sorts of things. We navigate life by the stories that we believe in. And more than anything else, there is a story, the story that God wants us to know and God wants us to share with each other over and over again. It's the story of the kingdom of God. It's the story of who we are and where we come from and where we're going and where all of this is going. It's the story of the purpose of life. It's the story of God's relationship with us. It's the story that God wants us to find our life in and live into. And so we've been retelling that story. And the really cool thing about it is that you get an overview of the whole Bible in this and just the Christian story, because it's not just a story or a combination of stories from long ago. But I think as we've been hearing this, you can see, oh, yeah, that's me. I see myself in that part and that part and that part and all the parts, because these aren't just strange people. They're human beings like you and I, and they're telling us something significant about who we are. Every week, I'm going to do a little bit of catch up, but it has to get shorter because the story gets longer, right? So every week has got a word to go with it. So the first week, the story begins with tragedy. That's so good. Some people got it. Our story begins with tragedy, with something being lost. Something precious and good being lost. The next week is what? Promise. Yeah. So the first people was Adam and Eve. Some tragedy. Something beautiful and good being lost there. The next week was promise. We have a promise to Noah that God says, although this breaks my heart and the bent of the human heart is towards wickedness all the time, and there's things that are breaking my heart here, of betrayal and murder and corruption and the powerful oppressing the powerless and all this sort of stuff. It breaks my heart. I'm not going to destroy it ever again. We get another promise to Abram that God says, I'm going to rescue the world. I'm going to bless this cursed world. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And I will bless all the peoples of the world, all the people groups of the world through you and through your descendants. Okay, so what's after that? We got community. That's right. Yeah. So tragedy, promise, community. So out of Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Esau and Jacob. Jacob, his nickname around the schoolyard was Israel. He had a whole bunch of children. And they were sometimes called the children of Israel or just Israel. They go to the land of Egypt, where they grow and they multiply, but they're also very oppressed, and God rescues them through a man named Moses, and they are given an identity and a purpose and a calling to be God's saving community in the world. All right, so what happens next? So what's the next word? Rejection. So good. So tragedy, promise. I'm going to rescue community and a rescue through this God. We love God and God loves us. Community, living right and shining this light into the world. Then rejection. And the person there was Samuel, through the last of the judges and the beginnings of the prophets. He kind of overlaps there. And through that, they formally rejected God as king. They were to live as a people different than all the peoples of the earth that had a king, had a monarch. And they were to live with God as their king. And they said, we don't want you to be king. We still want you to stick around and bless us and take care of us and comfort us and all those sort of things. But we don't want you to be like the Lord of our life, you know, familiar to many of us. We like you, God, and we like we want a genie, you know, but we don't really want God. So the last week, it's starting to get more complicated. So I'm getting a little inventive. So the next part was about the, in the Bible, is the time of the kings and the prophets. So that's in Chronicles and Kings and all the prophets. And so I summarized that. The word for that was what? Anybody remember? Rejection. Things are looking bad, but we have hope. We're heading into exile. So I told a story. I summarized all that through telling the story of this young woman walking through this post-apocalyptic fall of Jerusalem setting, and them hearing again the promises, the words of hope that were coming from the prophets. So, and today is hero. It's about Jesus. I'm just going to give it away. It's about Jesus. And the dates on these, for people that like dates, Abraham, God spoke to Abraham around 2100 BC. Moses and the Israelites are coming out of Egypt into the land of Palestine around 1400 BC. Samuel and the rejection of God as king happens around 1000 BC. And the fall, Babylon takes over Jerusalem and destroys it utterly in 586 BC. And then Jesus was born somewhere between 1 and 3 BC. So there was, some people think zero. There was no zero when they made up that timeline that we use. But somewhere between 1 and 3. So there's a lot of ways to, and images and stories and ways that the Bible and God uses to tell the story. Many times it's a king and his kingdom, and a kingdom under rebellion, a kingdom where all things were going well, and then things began to fall apart. Sometimes it's more of a creator, an artist, and a masterpiece that gets marred. Sometimes it's a story of a farmer or a vineyard farmer, I guess, or whatever you call those. I don't know. Maybe they're farmers. Bye, Joey. What is it?
The vine dressers.
The vine dressers. There we go. Yeah. The master of the vineyard, the master vine dresser. But today I'm going to tell the story through the image of a song. At the beginning of all it is, when everything was calm and quiet and empty, God began to sing. It was a beautiful, beautiful song. The song of who God is, the song of creation. As God sang, new wonders came into existence. Light and darkness, air and water, plants and animals. As every new and wonderful thing came into being, God would teach everything that existed how to find their own voice and how to sing the song of life back to God, until all of creation sang as one beautiful chorus, singing the song of creation together in perfect harmony. The beauty of it could be heard and seen and felt. It was everywhere, and it was in all things. The crown of God's creation was humanity. Their part in the song reflected who God is more than anything else. So they lived in this perfect world, unmarred by the discord of death and darkness and disease and all their forms. They lived in a world where all things lived in perfect harmony with each other, with God, and with all the created world. But one day these people began to doubt, and they began to distrust God's love and goodness towards them. They decided that life would be better if they sang their own song, and maybe they could get other people and other things to sing their song back to them. So in their pride and in their arrogance and their fear of missing out, that is exactly what they started to do. They began singing their own song. Songs that they made up. Songs that weren't as beautiful as they thought that they would be. And for the first time, the beautiful harmony of creation was broken by discord. The screeching, howling, broken sounds of fear and hate and distrust were mingled in with the song of creation. It started out small at first, but it grew and it grew until people couldn't even hear God's song anymore. It grew until it affected all the created world. and God's heart was broken. But God would never give up. God would never stop singing. God loved all that God had made, but especially people. And somehow, some way, God would help them hear and remember the song again. For the longest time, things got worse. More and more screeching, howling, and ugly sounds were invented as every new person sang their own song and try to get others to sing it back to them. It became harder and harder for the people to hear the song. But God never gave up. God kept on singing the song to them. Then one day, as God sang the beautiful song of creation to a world lost in the jarring, clanging noise of discord, God noticed a man humming a bit of the song back to him. His name was Abram, or later, Abraham. His humming filled God's heart with hope and excitement. With all the noise around him and inside of him, Abraham couldn't catch a whole lot of God's song. But the amazing thing is that the part that he could, he hummed back to God. God said to Abraham, "Keep on humming. Keep listening, and I will bless you, and I will make your descendants a blessing to all the peoples in the world. They will be my special people, and I will teach them the song again, and they will sing it loud and clear so that the whole world hears it and learns to join the harmony again." So years and years later, God gathered the children of Abraham together, a small nation of people at this point, and took them out to a quiet place and gave them the notes and gave them the chords to the song. At first, even several times later, they saw this for the exciting treasure and the gift that it is, a gift from God on how to sing with the song of creation, with the song of life, instead of singing against it. But there was too much noise in the world around them and too much noise inside of them. And even though they now had the music, they still had a hard time hearing the song. And when they tried to sing it, it rarely came out right. They still couldn't hear the song, not clearly. But God giving them the music gave them hope, a hope that burned bright even during the darkest moments. And it gave them a longing for the song, a longing to hear it again, loud and clear and all around them and inside of them, as people once did so very long ago. It was during one of these especially dark periods, a period when all the noise and the discord that they had made and other people had made for them seemed to be too much, that God began to give these people a special kind of hope, a hope that one day God would send someone special, a rescuer, to teach them the song again. Someone to help them understand the notes and the chords. Someone who would put the song deep in their hearts. It was a huge hope, but an unclear hope. These children of Abraham, these children of faith, were people just like you and me. Broken people living in a broken world. And their ideas about what saving the world looks like looked a lot more like your ideas and like mine than like God's ideas of saving the world. They thought this person would come singing the songs that played the loudest in their lives and in their hearts, the harsh and discordant sounds of war and power and wealth, the songs of fear and hate and insecurity, the songs that scream, "I don't have enough, I'm not enough, I'm not safe, I'm not okay." People who could at best only hear enough of the song of life to hum a few parts of it could never have been prepared for what God was going to do. When this long-awaited person came, he was called Emmanuel, God with us. Through his life, the song that was sung into the emptiness that brought all things into being was heard once more, because he was the song. The song of life took on flesh and dwelled among us. His very name, Jesus, means Savior or Deliverer. In other words, Hero. God's song of creation that brought all things into being and held all things together lived and breathed and laughed and danced in and through Him. Some people found life and joy and healing and freedom in His living. But no one completely understood Him. There was too much clanging, screeching noise around and inside of most people for them to hear Jesus, to hear the song for what it truly was. The parts of the song that could be heard over the noise only made the noise worse. The song exposed the noise that had been dominating and controlling their lives for the rattle and the racket that it was. The presence of the song made the noise unbearable. It made it too hard to keep pretending that the disjointed sounds of their singing was actually music. So in one terrible moment, the people whom Emmanuel, whom the Savior, the Hero, who Jesus had come to save, turned on Him with all their fear and their anger and their distrust and violence to silence the song so that they could go back to pretending that the noise was music. All the hate and anger and darkness that we all would like to pretend isn't inside of us, that we would like to pretend we are not capable of, erupted that day. And people demanding that this innocent man be crucified, a screaming demand that would not be turned away. So the song of life was mocked and beaten and humiliated and tortured and hung on a cross so that all could see that this was not the song. This was no liberating Messiah. But all of a moment came that changed everything. Jesus, the song, every step of the way had never stopped loving the people who were betraying and torturing and killing Him. Even on the cross, He looked on the screaming, spitting crowd with kindness and compassion in His eyes, and He prayed for their forgiveness. The crowd grew silent. There at the foot of the cross, the crowd of people gathered there that day heard something that no one had been able to truly hear for time beyond memory. They heard God's part of the beautiful song, I love you, 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 I love you. In the very moment where their screeching, howling, clattering, clanging noise was pouring out of them like never before, the noise that clung, that they clung to believing for so long was music. In that moment, they heard clearly God's part of the beautiful song, I love you, I love you, I love you. The song that was meant to fill their hearts and to fill their lives was heard loud and clear once again. As Jesus died, the screaming, spitting crowd fell into silence. And then tears began streaming down their faces, racking sobs began taking over their bodies, and they turned and they walked away into the night, beating their chests and weeping at what they had become, at what they had done, and weeping at the goodness of who God is. They had heard the song in all of its beauty and goodness, and it had broken them. If hearing the song at the foot of the cross is all that you or I or these people ever knew of Jesus or the song, it would be good news. But it would still be a tragedy. There would be love, but there would be no hope. We could live being completely convinced of God's amazing love for us, but no hope that we or our world could be different, could be saved. But the song did not die on the cross that day. Jesus' story, God's story, did not end on the cross that day. Jesus died, and 3 days later came back to life, and hope sprang to life with him. How Jesus came out of the grave. Somehow Jesus came out of the grave with a gift. Maybe it's like the story that Jesus once told about the kingdom of God, the dream of God, the rescue of God, being like a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that it might grow to produce more and more wheat. The song was in Jesus and was Jesus. But after Jesus died and came back to life again, the song began getting inside of his followers too. There was still a lot of clanging noise and ruckus inside of them and around them. But planted in their hearts, song. They would always be able to hear it, and so slowly, it would drive out all the noise until their life became the song. The promise to Abraham was coming true. The curse was being broken. The blessing was coming true. For always and forever, followers of Jesus would be able to hear God's song again. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And the gift would help them sing it back to God. And I love God. And I love God. And I love God. The lost kingdom began breaking back into the world. The song that had been planted deep into human hearts. The song had been planted deep into human hearts, and it would spread like a good cure. Slowly, unstoppably, bringing healing and new creation to all the world as more and more people hear the song and learn to sing it with their lives loud and clear. God loves me, and I love God. God loves me, and I love God. God loves Nathan, and Nathan loves God. God loves Marquette, and Marquette loves God. God loves joy, and God loves joy, and joy loves God. Mary loves God, and God loves Mary. God loves Betty, and Betty loves God. God loves Rachel, and Rachel loves God. God loves Anna, and Anna loves God. God loves Adam, and Adam loves God. God loves Susan, and Susan loves God. God loves Michaela, and Michaela loves God. God loves Jason, and Jason loves God. God loves Daryl, and Daryl loves God. God loves Freddie, and Freddie loves God. God loves Anjanette. And Anjanette loves God. God loves Chris, and Chris loves God. God loves Jenny, and Jenny loves God. God loves Danielle, and Danielle loves God. God loves Ambrose, and Ambrose loves God. God loves Saronica, and Saronica loves God. God loves Jordan, and Jordan loves God. God loves Tori, and Tori loves God. God loves Melanie, and Melanie loves God. God loves Meredith, and Meredith loves God. God loves little Joey, and Joey will learn to love God. God loves Harvey, and Harvey will learn to love God. God loves all our babies and all the Justin and Aisha and Erica and all the kids. And they will learn to love God. Let's pray.